Acme Lithium, a company positioned near the epicenter of lithium production in the United States. Since 1966, Nevada's Clayton Valley has been the primary production source for lithium in all of North America. Acme Lithium holds two promising lithium projects in the Clayton Valley region. Acme Lithium, U.S. trading symbol ACLHF, and in Canada, ACME. Web address, acmelithium.com. That's acmelithium.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome Jonathan Ward, our colleague, author of China's Vision of Victory. Gordon, a very good evening to you. What is the Boao Forum, where important leaders of the Chinese Communist Party are making policy statements? Good evening to you, Gordon.
Good evening, John. Well, the Boao Forum for Asia Annual Conference 2022, where Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, spoke on the 21st, is basically China's version of Davos. They think that there needs to be an Asian Davos, and China has had one now for quite some time.
Jonathan, good evening to you. The significance of this forum at this moment, with China in crisis, by any other name, this is alarm bells. Shanghai is locked down with people screaming from their balconies and pleading on the phone for medical assistance. Beijing being tested, up to 20 million people being tested with the potential of the same thing, a lockdown. Food hoarding going on, we're told, from downtown Beijing. How do we measure this crisis with the Boao Forum? Are these separate universes? Good evening to you, Jonathan.
Good evening, John. Well, I think that there are some significant things that have been raised here. Of course, what caught attention in the headlines was Xi Jinping's proposal of a global security initiative, which many have said, you know, lacks specifics, but nonetheless is very much in keeping with things that go way back in Communist Party security thinking in Asia. And really what this seems to be is the desire to link they've talked about their community of common destiny and all these other pieces of a China-driven world order. But this is, I think, at least the very beginning of testing a concept where security and economic power are linked, where China forms a sort of pole here in Asia, utilizing concepts that have been around since the 1950s, such as the five principles of peaceful coexistence. They talked about advancing Asian cooperation, promoting Asian unity. I think there's still the confidence, regardless of their crises, that they can go out and propose an alternative vision for world order, even if it's sort of piece by piece, sort of theme by theme here. And some of these are old themes, of course. But I think they haven't lost that sense of what to do or where they're aiming.
Gordon, I'm told that Xi Jinping, the general secretary, used the term decoupling. What does that mean to him? Why did he use that term?
John, I think that's really the core of Xi Jinping's speech on the 21st. And that is, decoupling is essentially a deglobalization. Countries localizing production within their own borders or close to their borders. No trans-Pacific trade. He's worried that the United States will cut China off. And the reason this is important is that the Chinese economy, because of the COVID lockdowns and because of fundamental causes, is now in distress. We see this through many symptoms. And I think that Xi Jinping realizes he needs the United States and the rest of the world if the country is going to get through a very difficult period.
You have a question for Jonathan, Gordon.
Jonathan, there's a lot of vivid imagery in Xi Jinping's speech about throwing passengers overboard and the necessity for countries to pull together. What is your measure of this?
Well, and I think they understand that they need us much more than we need them. And that's the thing that we have to understand, too, because at the end of the day, decoupling or separation or whatever you want to call it, I think that is the heart of the matter. The entire problem rests on whether or not the United States and our allies are willing to continue to have China as an essential piece of the world economy. And I think what we have to start to understand is that we do not need to go that route. In fact, all of our security, all of our prosperity depends on not having China as a centerpiece of the world economy. So that's where we need to take action and start to form strategy. And China knows that. I mean, their continued rise, their ability to get outside of the middle income trap, to realize the sort of great rejuvenation of the Chinese nation, or to simply continue their growth, it requires access to Western capital, technology, and markets. We have no great reason to give them any of those things any further, particularly if we understand what the real consequences are, i.e. China's vision of victory. We're now building and funding that, as we've talked about, you know, many times. And it's time for America to realize that we hold some very important cards here. I mean, we hold the keys really to the future of China's ascendancy, and we can also withhold that, and we should. It's not really a matter of, I mean, you do not get, I think, long-term security by enabling an actor as malicious as the Communist Party of China. But we have to have the confidence to restructure the world economy without them.
Jonathan, the war in Ukraine is going badly for the Kremlin. Is that making Xi nervous? Is he thinking about switching sides, or at least getting somewhere in between?
Well, I wouldn't say that they're going to switch sides, but I do think it must be making them nervous, and not simply because of the battlefield losses for the Russians, which is a very important piece of it, but because we've just seen the beginning of Western economic warfare on a scale that we haven't seen, certainly in the post-Cold War globalized world, perhaps even in the Cold War itself. So you have to go back a long time to see this kind of action against a large state. I mean, Russia is a G20 economy, a former, I believe it was G8 at one point, and we basically took the gloves off when it came to access to capital markets. You know, now most favored nation status has been Congress has said we can't give them that. So our ability, if we want to act on trade and finance, is actually so powerful that China understands that we can take that all away from them very quickly. And the question in my mind is, you know, we really should. It's just a matter of degree. It's a matter of not necessarily the punitive action in the face of aggression as it is in Ukraine, but the question of the entire direction of world order. I mean, if we still want to have a world that is led by the United States of America and built in the image of free democracies, we're not going to be able to give China dominance over the international system through economic power. So we have to get very serious about that. And I think we've just learned what we can do, what we're actually able to pull together based on economic warfare with Russia and Ukraine. So I think that's not lost on Beijing at all.
Gordon, Ronald Reagan taught us the Russian proverb, trust but verify. Can we trust anything from Xi Jinping, or do we need a new wind in China?
Well, John, we can trust Xi Jinping 100%. We can trust that 100% that what he says is not true. So, yeah, in a perverse way, yes, we can trust him to always tell us what's in his interest, what's not in our interest. And we can always trust him to lie through the teeth.
Well, this makes him much weaker appearing than heretofore we're given to understand China presents itself. Where's the wolf warrior, Gordon? Is it right behind Xi? We just can't see it?
I think we're going to see it, and especially as China shows more and more symptoms of distress. And really, March and April are horrible months for the Chinese economy and for the Chinese financial system. It makes all the sense in the world for Xi Jinping to become the wolf warrior, because that way he can distract the Chinese people from tremendous failures at home.
Jonathan, we know in the United States that the customer is always in charge. The customer is always right. Did she not know that before he plunged into this, crawl back from the edge?
Well, I think the deeper objective here of the Russia-China strategic partnership is for the two sides to be on the same team if anything bigger ever breaks out. And they've said this essentially in their statement that we've all talked about on February 4 at the Olympics. On the day that there is a Taiwan conflict, I'm pretty sure that Beijing wants Moscow's support. So I think they're still playing a bigger, deeper game. And Ukraine has not gone well for Russia, and that is all well and good for the West. But at the end of the day, we're dealing with a Russia-China entente that will have complexities to it. There will be disagreements within it, but they share a fundamental strategic objective. They've been unashamed of their desire to fight and confront a U.S.-led order, and they intend to do that as partners. So in that sense, nothing has changed.
Without us as a customer, what is she? He's a loser, Jonathan. If we don't buy him his act, correct? He needs to sell us.
Well, they depend on the West. They want to surpass us, replace us, displace us, whatever you want to call it. But they are trying to build internal markets, and they've got our companies and business leaders and financial leaders all bought into that at this point. So that's a problem that we still have, is that our business interests are tied far too deeply to China's continued ascendancy. So once, if we can get that all in order, where business and national security come to the same side, where it's about building a new arsenal of democracy and not building the People's Republic of China, then I think we come out in the end in the right place. But we still have much work to do, I think, in terms of getting our whole country and our whole alliance system to understand the right way forward.
Jonathan Ward, China's Vision of Victory. Gordon Chang, at Gordon T. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.